Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Wednesday night rugby on Off the Ball.
We've Keith Wood on the line. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. And Jerry Thornley of the Irish Times. Whereabouts are you, Jerry?
Rotorua in the morning.
Oh,
here,
you sound sleepy. You sound sleepy.
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm wide awake.
Good.
Ready for you. Yeah, yeah.
So what's the schedule? Where are you headed for the afternoon or for tomorrow or the next couple of days?
There's been an All Blacks team announcement by email this morning for their game against Samoa, and there was meant to have been a Lions team announcement around now. It's been put back for about 5 hours, I believe, and there'll be a press conference later around lunchtime here. Middle of the night, your time, with Warren Gatland and whoever the captain is of this team.
Okay. Eddie, we had Eddie O'Sullivan on the show last night, Keith, and it's been some time since we've spoken to you and Jerry, because we were at Vicar Street last Wednesday.
Yeah. And missed you, Joe.
Desperately. Eddie was making the point that he watched the Crusaders, the win against the Crusaders at the weekend, and he suddenly felt a whole lot more optimistic about the entire tour. He said, well, here is something of a template, and quite a good template. And he said, if they can replicate that against the Maori All Blacks at the weekend and get momentum and belief, crucially, it will be a huge thing, and it will give food for thought for Steve Hansen. And he really set up this game against the Maori All Blacks at the weekend as a defining one in many ways for this Lions tour.
Yeah, and for me, actually not so, as it turns off, or as it turns out. I'm interested. I wonder whether there's any inkling from Jerry, and we'll chat about that in a second, whether there's any inkling that the selection might be different from that very strong selection or not. As to whether there might be a chance of resting some of the players for next week and just making certain that the games that are important are not this supposed media-hyped additional fourth test against the Maoris, but are actually about the three tests. So I'm not sure. And I do think the game at the weekend was the template, and I thought I thought the Lions played really well. I thought their line speed was excellent. I thought Conor Murray and Owen Farrell were sublime in the game. And I know it's hard to call them sublime when they're kicking a huge amount of ball, but they were doing it with such unerring accuracy. Mm. They were actually, it was a joy to watch. It wasn't the most exciting game. It was really a Northern Hemisphere game. And if the more pertinent comment in the last week has been Graham Henry saying, don't try and emulate the All Blacks. Mm. Try and do what you can do really well and do at a higher standard than anybody else can, which is that particular style of, I would say, Saracens type rugby is probably the easiest line to call it. And I thought the Lions did that. And I don't know whether momentum, and I would be the huge fan of momentum, but I don't know how important that is at the moment, because I think there's peaks and troughs in this Lions tour. I think come the test team and the typical or the picked test team is good enough to cause an upset. Mm. The midweek team is off the pace in terms of preparation and maybe standard.
Mm. Jerry, any idea on that team that we're going to see at the weekend? Keith mentioned he's not so sure we may see a strongest possible one, or one akin to what we saw against the Crusaders. I understand that the naming of it's been delayed.
Yeah, it has been delayed. I think there will be a core of the team that played last Saturday simply because a lot of them are just due a game.
Yeah.
But I think those players that have been overworked, who might be earmarked for the first test side, such as, say, Alan Wynne-Jones or Owen Farrell, given they played back-to-back, or CJ Stander might make the match 23. They all played back-to-back last Saturday and last Tuesday in match day 23. I think they'll be rested. So there's no point in going in with the entire first test team. You might as well keep the All Blacks guessing. You might as well rotate a little bit more. I don't think they have decided on their first test team yet anyway. I think there's a few issues still to be resolved. Composition of the back three, composition of the back row, particularly amongst them. Maybe even the slot of 13, midfield combinations. But I think you'll still see the likes of Conor Murray in there and Ben Teal. I think Jonathan Davies is due a game. Lee Halfpenny is due a game. George Cruz will surely come back in. But I think, as I said, Alan Wynne-Jones will be rested. So he might start with Mauro Toje. It'll be a strong side. And I think for that reason, I think it would be very important for the Lions to generate some kind of momentum and go into this now with the win, particularly as it would mean that they lost again next Tuesday to the Chiefs, what it would mean quite a severe demarcation line between the Saturday side and the midweek side, with the Saturday side having three wins and the midweek side having three defeats. It would ensure some momentum going into that first test. I don't know, do you really want to see the Lions go into that first test on the back of three defeats in a row, which would be the possible consequences of losing this Saturday against the Maori, given the disappointing defeat last Tuesday?
It seems
the Highlanders
like
in Dunedin.
It seems from afar like they, and they said it at the outset, they say they have a pretty mature reaction to defeats, Jerry. They've gone in with their eyes open to this schedule, and they, you know, defeats are hiccups as opposed to, I don't know, in previous Lions tour. Like in 05, they lost to the Maoris, and a lot of the players said it felt like the air was sucked out of the thing a little bit. It feels like there's an awareness that it's just impossible with this schedule in 2017 to even hope to win all of these games.
Yeah, very much so. And that has been the mantra from Warren Gatland down, and Sam Warburton has said it as well since they, even before they came out on tour. They knew what they were coming into. It's the toughest schedule imaginable that any Lions squad has ever undertaken in terms of taking on the Super Rugby franchise, all five of them, for the first time ever. In 2005, they had, you know, a few romps against the likes of Manawatu 2 and so forth, and actually won all seven provincial games. You mentioned the Maoris and the results of the three tests. Nobody remembers they won seven provincial games. They were judged on the test series to a large extent, and that defeat to the Maori. The Maori have a fairly good side this weekend, and they'll have a good crack off the Lions for sure. They'll bring a huge amount of pride. A lot of their frontline has been rested up and playing against the Lions. They've been in camp for 10 days, so it will be a very tough assignment. But you're right, I think they've been aware, the Lions, that they were never going to win all of these matches against the Super Rugby franchises. And in actual fact, given the way they're going, they've been phenomenal this season, way clear of South Africa and Australian sides. I think that they will be judged, and they know they will, to a large extent on the test series, and particularly that first test. That's the key. That's the whole key to this tour. If they're going to keep the test series alive to the last game of the tour and really make the series take off, they've got to win that first match. It's all about that first test, and they're gearing to that accordingly. Be worth bearing in mind as well, like if they were touring South Africa and New Zealand now, I think they'd be probably, or South Africa and Australia, I think the Lions are probably romping through all their Saturday and midweek games because there's such a gulf now between the New Zealand franchises and those from Australia. I think they're 21-0 against them, and those from South Africa, they've only lost twice in about 16 matches. I mean, they really are the only matches that matter in the Super Rugby Championship are the New Zealand derbies. That's how much they are ahead of the rest.
So I think you're right, Joe.
They're always going to lose some of these games.
They are ahead of the rest, Jerry, but I mean, I'm still looking back at 8 months, 9 months ago, Munster beat the Maoris. You know, so we do fall into that you know, the potential hole where we kind of build up everybody to be more than what they are. And I know they'd be more potent at home, of course they will, and I know they've been together for a while, but they were together for that before that game as well, and they were on a tour away, and they, you know, they had a lot of preparation. So we have an idea of giving them sometimes. It was one of the big issues actually Clive Woodward had all those years ago, and bearing in mind I think Clive got a lot wrong, and but still got a lot right, and actually may have been ahead of the game and some of the things in which he was trying to do. He never let you ever mention the All Blacks. He said they're New Zealand. They don't have this mythical name that bestows additional strengths and powers on them. And the same for the Maori All Blacks. You know, they're not it isn't a fourth test. It is an important game, but in the scheme of what this trip is, it is not that important. Maybe for momentum, maybe for confidence, maybe for keeping all the players fully on tour and not getting them too disconsolate. I'm the only thing that's been upsetting me has been that not enough of players have kind of put their hand up. I'm not going to say as characters, because you can't really see that as such, but you know, at this stage, but as leaders on the field. And at times in the midweek team, it's been too many guys kind of being beaten down, and it's a bit sad and miserable at the end of it. And it's an appallingly tough tour. I wouldn't take away from that at all. But there needs to be a little bit more, energy or leadership, or guys putting their hand up and just doing something a little bit bigger, faster, stronger, quicker, something like that.
Can that, Keith, I mean, not that it would be the right thing, but can that be because these players who are star performers for their national sides come on tour, and then, you know, they see the which team they're in pretty quickly, and there's a fairly clear gap between the Saturday team and the midweek team. It just takes something out of them. There's a kind of this lot.
Yeah, that's a weakness of them and sure. a weakness of the management, if that is the case. I remember in 2001 looking at Donal Lenihan, and I'd some good run-ins with Donal over the years. You know, we didn't always see eye to eye.
He was team manager in 01.
Yeah, and but I would have huge regard for him as a rugby guy. Yeah. Huge regard, and we may have looked at things differently and fought often, but I would have said with respect on both sides for all of that, he could not get it into his head. He was captain of the midweek team, the Lions, in 1989. Mm-hmm. And my God, if you were looking at a midweek captain, you'd say he's the guy I'd want to follow. He thought it was the biggest thing he had a chance to do. And he couldn't get near the test team. But this was the be-all and end-all for him. This was his chance to wear that jersey, and he wanted to deliver for it. And in 2001, he found it incredibly difficult that some guys went off tour. And off tour is not like people think, going on the lash or, you know, so that's not it. It's mentally being their head off tour. And he could not, because it was just beyond his possible ability to think of going off tour. This was just so, and so, like, that is something that has happened on Lions tours. We haven't heard any sign of it happening on this one. There's always a chance, and we said it after that. We talked after one game and one game only, and we're talking about Jack Noel having a mare in the first weekend, and he has to keep his head in the game because there isn't a huge amount of strength and depth in the back three, and there's a good chance he'll play in the test. And when he plays in a test, he wants to be as good as he can possibly be mentally. So if he goes off tour, what a waste that would be. Sure. And so for all those players, I have to say I'm in Donal Lenihan's camp. What a waste it would be to if things don't go your way, to not back it up to the hilt.
How impressed, Keith, were you with Farrell and Sexton on the pitch together on Saturday?
I've said this before about Johnny Sexton, and he probably won't thank me for it. I think at times he has been the main man for so long that when somebody else takes the reins for a while, even on the pitch at the same time, and I'm saying that from Joey Carberry from 15 or even Jared Payne from 15 at different times during the international season, he's looked infinitely more comfortable. And I thought he didn't look particularly well for the first couple of games he played. Things didn't go as well as he would have liked. He looked assured, and he was sharing the load, and he looked the more comfortable for it. I mean, in Farrell, we have a guy, and he still missed a kick that would have, you know, probably won the game during the week. And yet he's a guy that carries a strut. I think we all would have disliked Farrell watching from afar, and I can only say it having met him in the last year, not really knowing him, for a guy that you kind of want to dislike, he's not dislikable. He's a lovely guy, you know, and he is a pure rugby guy, and all he wants to do is play well and win. And he's giving off a confidence. You can see from afar he gets the lines, and the pair of them together, still for me, I don't know whether they can fully work or not.
What would the biggest concern be?
The biggest concern is defensively.
Right.
It is putting them under huge pressure defensively. When we're not really looking at a recognised 13 defender at the moment. So you could have them at 10 and 12, but whoever's going to play at 13 is going to have to do an unbelievable amount of defending in the most difficult place in the pitch. And we're looking slightly confused in that spot at the moment.
What's your read on it, Jerry?
I think that Johnny Sexton has played his way into form. I think injuries to other players have meant that he played all three of the first three games for the Lions, coming off the bench early against the Crusaders. It allowed him to play his way into form. Because he came out here low in confidence. You could see it in his body language, you could see it in his press utterances, in the way he talked to the media, talked to, described himself as the underdog in the back of the number 10 jersey behind Owen Farrell. I might have spoken on this show about the privilege of being able to watch in the QBE Stadium in Auckland the four place kickers, Lee Halfpenny, Dan Bicker, Johnny Sexton and Owen Farrell, all practicing under the watchful eye of Neil Jenkins. You don't get a half an hour like that too often in your life, seeing such quality goal kickers practicing. And it's been quite striking this tour how Owen Farrell, as a second-time tourist, just 4 years older, and so much he's achieved in the intervening 4 years, culminating European Player of the Year. He's won Grand Slams. He's won two back-to-back European Champions Cups. He's won Premiership titles. It's just been a remarkable 4 years for Owen Farrell, and he arrives here a man, having been a international terms 4 years ago. To Johnny Sexton, who's in his late 20s, in the prime of his career, and Johnny spoke about basically Farrell being where he was 4 years ago in terms of achievement. So I think he came out low in confidence from his performance in the semi-final of the Pro 12 with Leinster, and he's found his way into form. There's quite a lot of speculation over here that Gatland and the coaching staff are going to go with a Farrell-Sexton combination at 10-12. They certainly looked, when they dovetailed together, that it was quite seamless. But I think that says more about their qualities as players, just that they are quasi players, and they were able to seamlessly slip in as first and second receiver alternate playmakers, with Sexton mostly at 10, but it could work both ways. I think it's good to see. I wouldn't be surprised if Sexton starts this weekend against the Maori and really back that up, and then that gives Gatland and the coaches quite a nice dilemma to have two in-form quasi number 10s. It would be a position of real strength going into the Test Series. I still think personally the likelihood is that Owen Farrell start the Test Series, start the first Test anyway, with Ben Teo at 12 and either Jonathan Davies, or most likely Jonathan Davies, but possibly Jonathan Joseph at number 13, with Sexton on the bench and that double playmaker option as a weapon off the bench for the last 20 or 30 minutes. I think that's the likeliest way they're going to go into it.
Okay, we'll throw one more opinion into the melting pot. Ronan O'Gara was out at Dunleary Golf Club today, and he was at the launch of the Soft Co Foundation. We'll bring you the full interview tomorrow, but here were his thoughts on the Lions back line and the Sexton Farrell 10-12 access dilemma.
I don't know where I am on it at the minute. I don't think you can start with the two of them in the Test team against New Zealand. I just think it's a very good option maybe after 50 minutes having two ball players, but I think for me two of them are tens, two of them are class players, and I think there is very little between them. But I think if I was picking the team, I'd have one of them at 10 and I'd have a kind of someone else in the centre. You know what I mean? I think Robbie Henshaw's performance for Ireland in Chicago might give him an advantage. He hasn't, I suppose, shone on this tour yet. He's had 2 games, 2 losses. So that from his point of view, it's not great. I think Ben Teo is an impact player. Who's going to play 13? Jonathan Davies, Jonathan Joseph. The problem for me at the minute is it's impossible to name the Lions midfield, which I don't think is a good thing. The one back you'd look like as the kind of a definite is George North, who's on the wing. Every other position seems to be, bar Conor Murray would start 9. I would have thought that Farrell will definitely play 10 or 12. So you probably have 3 players there max nailed on, which, you know, Test rugby, it's all about having trust and combinations, and I think that's what's going to maybe ultimately decide this series. Just when the heat of battle comes on, I think the All Blacks just probably have just more trust in each other, and it's perfectly understandable why they have.
We'll play that full interview with Rog on tomorrow's show. What about Henshaw then, Keith?
I don't know that he's had the chance to shine as much as we would have liked. It's funny, I've read through all the papers over the last couple of days, and when I say all, I go to the English and I sometimes go to the Welsh, and it's funny, I won't say the one-eyed view, but there is definitely a green tint from the Irish papers. There's a red tint from the Welsh, and there's absolutely a white tint from the English. And I haven't been reading the Scottish papers, just in case you're wondering it. But I think there's an awful lot more.
Keith?
What?
How do you mean there's a green tint from the Irish papers?
Well, I do think when we look at our players, we want our players to do well, actually, and we want them to actually get picked, you know. And it's funny, it took me a long time to. It didn't take me that long, actually, but it took me a time on my first Lions tour to understand that you have to try and get rid of those colours very quickly, and that you need to be only thinking what's the best thing for the Lions. I'd like Robbie Henshaw to do more. He's much more of a player than an element of bosh that we're seeing out of him at the moment. And whatever we're playing, we're not seeing the best out of him. And that makes it difficult for him to force himself into the team. He could force himself into the team at 12, in that instance, but you know, I wouldn't see him at a 13. I know some people have been mentioning him there. I don't think he's had as much of a joyous ride as he would have liked to have got on the Lions. I think he'd like to have seen more breaks, more offloading, running onto ball, doing more things that were more positive. And instead, he's played in teams that have struggled, and we haven't seen the best of him.
Yeah,
and line selection can be very unfair at times, because it depends on the combinations for the team that you're picked in as to what can actually happen, and I think he has suffered a little bit from that. Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. He started in the two defeats. Ben Teal started in the two wins. Had it been the other way around, we might be looking at their tours completely differently so far. But in the heat of the hunt, Ben Teal's shown more going forward. He's shown more footwork. He's made more line breaks. He's got more offloads away. I think that's going to stand to him when it comes to first test selection, particularly if he reproduces that this Saturday against the New Zealand Maori.
Jerry, in so much as you
but
can...
The big one this
yeah,
weekend,
go on,
really,
go on.
The big one this weekend, I think, is the back row. And that's got a huge Irish interest. And I'm trying not to be biased about the Irish selection so far. I'm saying that Ben Teal is going to probably make the team ahead of Robbie Henshaw.
Yeah.
I'm saying that Owen Farrell is probably going to make the team ahead of Johnny Sexton. But I do think that Peter Omani and Sean O'Brien have a great opportunity on the presumption that Gatlin and Co go with the same back row that featured against the Crusaders, with Omani at 6, O'Brien at 7, Toby Faletau at 8. I'd echo what Keith said about the Conor Murray and Johnny and Owen Farrell partnership last week, and I thought Toby Faletau was outstanding as well. His work rate, his footwork, his carrying, his tackling. Even in the first game, he made an amazing recovering tackle to save a try against Provincial Barbarians. I think his importance to this team is almost as pronounced as that of Conor Murray, given the absence of Billy Vunipolo. And I just think it's a huge opportunity for Omani and O'Brien. They went really well last week, and there's a natural balance to that back row. Omani is an out-and-out 6. O'Brien is essentially now a 7, has been for the last few years, and Faletau is very much an 8, and it gave them a line-out option. It gave them a very good defensive line-out option on the Crusaders' throw. They could go after their line-out. I'm sure they're going to try and target the All Blacks line-out. So if Omani has a big game, I think he's in, and I think if O'Brien has a really big game, backs it up as well, he could start ahead of Sam Warburton in the first test as things stand. It's funny, they both had relatively little rugby since 30 April, but O'Brien in his one outing against the Crusaders looked surprisingly strong and fit and sharp, and I think, and more so than Sam Warburton, who's looked in need of games. So it could be that O'Brien starts ahead of Warburton in the first test.
Yeah. In so much as you can, Jerry, and you know, we're the other side of the world here, and we're working off a few press conference snippets and even just some of the players on social media. You're a bit closer to the action. You're seeing things like the four kickers going through their routines, and you're seeing body language, and you're just getting a sense of the general mood. How does it compare with previous Lions tours?
It's way more intense, that's for sure. It's unrelenting, it's very demanding, and it's been embraced so far as I can tell. They seem to be, it's very full on. I don't think there's been a down day as such that hasn't at least been a travel day. There's been a lot of travel. I think they might be in their 7th hotel already. You'd wonder why the schedule was agreed to by the Lions that had, say, the Auckland in the first midweek, the first Tuesday, the first Wednesday of the tour, and not in the week of an Auckland test, say the first test, that would have reduced the travel load. So it's been quite exhausting, quite demanding. They've been relatively lucky with their injury profile. I think the morale, you can see it at various moments in games when maybe they get a choke tackle in the last 10 or 15 minutes of a match or something. You see how much it means to them all. There seems to be a great spirit amongst them. They've certainly been very competitive right up to the 80 minutes in all their matches so far. They've had good impact off the bench. So I think the only caveat to it all is that about five or six players are two defeats from two. Mm. And there's a little bit of a demarcation line now between the midweek side and the Saturday side. That's been the one obvious trend now to emerge from this week. That's why the defeat to the Highlanders was so disappointing. But that being aside, I think it's been noticeably more positive than 12 years ago. Although now we're coming into the Mary game, and I suppose if you think back to 12 years ago, it was the Mary game that started to unhinge everything.
Okay. Well, I think in some ways, 2005, the one purpose it has served is that the players, all they keep hearing is about how horrific and difficult and dark and miserable it was, that their expectations coming in here were probably pretty low. Keith, final word to you.
It's not like that, Joe. Yeah. It's not like that at all. And it's helped a little bit by the fact the weather hasn't been that bad.
Right.
And the one horrid night of the tour that leaves the game is indoors.
Yeah. Final word to you, Keith, then. So 2 weeks since we've spoken, are you more or less similarly confident and optimistic about how the Lions are going about their business?
Yeah, I'm not as... I don't think I was ever fully stressed with it. I do think it's a horrible schedule, and I think it's... And this isn't the Lions management, and this is the Lions company that have organised or have agreed to it. They really need to... I mean, this is an ongoing thing. This is going back 16 years that this conversation has been had, that there needs to be a level of player input into what the structure of the Lions tour should be, and there absolutely should be a veto call from the Lions as to things that they don't like. They have to be able to do that in future. But if you take all that aside,
yeah,
I think the Lions will be competitive in the tests. I don't know if they get there in the first one. Eden Park is a horrible place for people to play. They haven't lost there since the try from the other side of the world in 94-95. Which was an incredible try, actually. I don't know if you remember that French try. It was amazing. If the lads can stick that up online, just to watch it, it's truly extraordinary.
The try from the end of the earth.
Yeah, and so that was amazing. But I think we'll be competitive in the first test. I think we still have a good chance in the second test.
Okay.
And that's where I'd be hanging my hat.
Lads, we'll leave it there. Cheers, Keith. Safe travels, Gerry Thornley.
Thank you, Joe.
Cheers, Joe.
All right, lads, that's the rugby thoughts, Keith and Gerry, for this evening. And I should tell you, Off the Ball is bringing you a night of Lions legends on Thursday, June 29th at the RDS. It's going to be a brilliant show, really. Keith will be there, and we will have Willie John McBride, which we're very excited about. He's going to be great. Kieran Fitzgerald, Nick Popplewell, who was there in New Zealand in 93 as one of just two Irish players to get picked in the squad alongside Mick Galway. Luke Fitzgerald will be there. Malcolm O'Kelly, Fergus Slattery, who was outstandingly good on that 1974 tour of South Africa, the Invincibles tour, will be there. David Wallace will be there. So it should be really good stuff. And there'll be some ridiculously good prizes too. A holiday to New Zealand, tickets to all of Ireland's home rugby games next season, and a trip for two to Twickenham for England against Ireland on St. Paddy's Day, which is no bad thing. So for tickets, go to newstalk.com/Lions Legends.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.